path I walk upon. Nothing more up there me. Moving forwards, I am always learning. Following the light over the horizon into mountains of mystery. To a temple I am building, a home for the vessels I am filling.
Help me to see beyond my means. And that was Mikey Kenny with The Road I'm On. And we have a special guest with us. But first, we're going to turn the microphones on. And it's always an adventure here. Ah, yes. Four mics and no CD. What can you do? So we will have a chat there. Give us a shout out, Carolyn.
Oh, hello.
Why, I believe you're on the air.
Indeed.
So, Carolyn is a guest here. She came for a remembrance service.
Mm-hmm.
And for those of you not familiar, or maybe haven't been in town for the last couple of years, tell us a little bit about Lap of the Goddess Productions, Carolyn.
Thank you. And the Lap of the Goddess Productions is a, really it's a community. It's a organization that I put together when I was at Unicorn Books and Spiritual Resource Center, which sadly closed in 2006, sadly. But the community of people who used to gather for rituals and various author events and seasonal celebrations, full moons, and classes wanted to continue to meet. So I figured, well, we don't have four walls, but we're going to keep it going. And incredibly, we did for 8 years. When I'm in town, which is now, and not as often as it used to be since I moved to California, I still like to try to gather people together. So I'm thinking of reinstating, in fact, the mailing list and letting people know about events. But it was always organized around pagan seasonal celebrations, full moons, and classes to learn about these topics.
Wonderful. And for those not in the know, a unicorn had to move from Arlington, tried to make a go of it in Cambridge for a while.
Valiantly.
And I believe you also used the resources of the Masonic Hall across the street.
Well, it's actually a great story. My paternal grandfather, little did I know, was a 33rd degree Mason, and I discovered this looking at his jewelry and asking the right questions, and finally he told me. So I went across the street because the tiny space, though lovely, that we had at Unicorn wasn't nearly large enough for what my vision was of what was possible in the space that we'd had, which at that time was a small basement space. We could legally fit 25, nudge, nudge, wink, wink.
Right, as long as the fire marshal didn't show up.
Exactly. And I really had a vision of us getting much larger. Plus, we had wonderful people who were involved who wanted to give events. Authors like Gina Ogden, Chris Penzack, Sharon Nickmacha. I mean, a lot of wonderful local people, but also Starhawk came to us. All kinds of people came. It was wonderful. So I went across the street to the large Masonic Hall in Porter Square and introduced myself, and did most assuredly drop that my grandfather was connected, and we ended up having a lovely conversation with several of the gentlemen there, and they invited us to try the small room upstairs, which we ended up using for the entire almost 9 years that Lap of the Goddess was active for our full moons. But they also let us use the large, beautiful ritual hall upstairs for our more
specialized.
Yes, indeed. In fact, we had done several large, full maypoles, 9-foot-tall maypoles in there, which was wonderful. So, and that became that was a wonderful relationship. So that's how we expanded. And it kept, we had then rituals and gatherings that grew to be over 100 people in attendance. It was great.
Yes. I will remember when Sean Fieldsbury was inaugurated as Master of the Temple and invited us, and many of us did have sort of like ritual space envy for that particular thing, because they had well, first of all, the hall was beautiful. Mm-hmm. It was shared by three groups on the South Shore there. And then secondly, boy, were people well-drilled. Mm-hmm. That was probably the best way to describe it. I mean, they moved together as a group. They saluted the directions. Mm-hmm. They had state-of-the-art audio equipment, and I was like, well, it shows what can happen when you have an organization that manages to keep going for several hundred years.
Yes, it's remarkable, truly.
But to talk about your vision for continuing these events, what do you see happening?
Well, thank you for asking. At the current time, I'm about to reinvigorate a mailing list which I had had. I used to put out a newsletter every month. So to see where there's still interest, that would be my first step. You know, I understand that the community has evolved and changed, and because unfortunately there's so few brick and mortar stores anymore, having meeting places has become more challenging. That's one thing that has happened. But I would love to reinstate full moon circles. I would love to reinstate more author events and classes the way we used to. And so there's a place for me where not just about myself coming into town, but continuing to keep it active for people who are out of town who come. And so really just beginning to put my feelers out for who wants to be involved, as I am now sort of bi-coastal, and see who wishes to be active. It was always a group of people. We used to call it the team. I had a Lap of the Goddess team. So
Always helps to have a production team, doesn't it?
Yeah, but it also, for me, was always really important based on other experiences I had had of community much earlier in my life in the craft and just exploring all that, which was generally there were smaller groups or covens doing things, and a lot of them were private, and then there were some stores. But leadership seemed to be very centralized, and so my vision was always that I wanted to share that because of how it felt to me when being called upon to participate and how I loved it. So I've always really welcomed people to bring ideas and have put on quite a few other rituals led by other people. It's been wonderful in that way. Gives a different flavor.
Right. So in addition to, say, pagan and Wiccan events, did you cross over into the heathen community at all? Or
we actually didn't cross into the heathen, but what we did have, actually this was really a fun thing, we had people who came in from, for example, Diane Campany had come and done one with us, so more ceremonial. We'd had people come in who did some beautiful labyrinth rituals. So, and I'd also had a couple of people who offered Buddhist meditations. When we had Unicorn, we had a wonderful program called Free at Five. And during that, what we would do is have people from all different spiritual paths come and share at the 5 o'clock hour about what their paths were, so that people could become familiar with them and learn. And I really appreciated that. And I think now more than ever in these times in which we are currently living, where there is so much fear of who we do not know and what we do not understand, that sharing more of our traditions and discovering that there are more commonalities than differences.
Sounds good to me. We're going to take a musical break and then we'll come back with Carolyn.
Ella McLean was like John the Baptist. She delighted to preach to the multitude, saying, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. Ella McLean was a preacher, y'all. Every chance she got, she preached. Preached right down to the last minute. Hallelujah. Preached. So sometimes you had to help in the pulpit and help out, but she still preached. Said, thus said the Lord, behold, the Lamb of God taking away the sins of the world. I also listened to what the secretary was saying, that the last sermon she preached, and behold, she rested.
All right.
Sometimes we think that just dying is bad, but dying ain't bad, y'all. Hallelujah. Dying ain't bad. And all of us one day got to die and leave here. But what are you going to leave when you leave here? Like Apostle John, Ella McLean, believed with all her soul that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. Hallelujah. She not only believed it, but she taught it. She lived it. That Jesus was the Son of God. Like Enoch, she walked with God. And she was not. Hallelujah. That last night, she walked with God. I can imagine in my own mind. God said, come on, Marguerite. Come on, go home with me. Come on, Marguerite. Go home with me tonight. Tired of your suffering. Tired of you having pain. Tired of you being misunderstood. Come on, go home with me. God took her on home with him. She was a blessed, consecrated saint. True to her God. She was true to the church. She was true to her fellow man. The world is richer. Hallelujah, because Ella McLean been through. The city is richer because Ella McLean been by our way. Our church is richer after having Ella McLean in our midst. And I'm richer. Hallelujah. Don't think I haven't already asked God, God, what I'm going to do now? Because she was one I could call in the midnight hour.
Amen.
I could talk about anything. Hallelujah. Some of you in the church know that we had our differences. But let me tell you something. We had our differences to the point that we could just got through having difficulties and somebody come in and say, I want to be prayed for. We put our differences behind us. I can't tell you I won't miss them. But she been my sidekick. Was welcome to play second fiddle. Sometimes people don't want to play second fiddles. One day we too must die. But will it be a lost or will it be gained? There's any out there today that have not made preparation for this final day. Hallelujah, now is the acceptable time. I know the devil will tell you you got time. Glory to God, you don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. Be reconciled to the will of God. For he's too wise to make a mistake. He's too good to be unkind. This dying is not in vain. Ella McLean is richer today after having died. Ella McLean is better off today after having died. Ella McLean went on through the gates where she can have an immortal body without any pain, any suffering, anything. But she had to die in order to get that. Better off as a result of having died. Glory to God. And we all too must die one day. But the thing about it is, will you be ready? Will you be ready? Will your dying be a loss or will your dying be a gain? Praise God. You don't have it right, get it right. Get right with the Lord. Do it now. Praise God. Thank you for tolerating me. I just didn't want to rush through. I'm like you, I hate to give up.
Amen.
We just hate to give up.
Amen.
Hallelujah, but we got to give up.
Amen.
All we can do now is make preparations to meet up.
Amen.
Because we have to give her up.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
Well, I'm having a little bit of problems with the board here, but, well, there we go. And we'll get Carolyn back momentarily. Well, it turns out that it's almost impossible to do this with stretching across. Oh, dear. Well, we are down now to the right one. So, there we are. You should be back, Carolyn.
Okay, I think I am.
Oh, yes, I think you are. So, what we just heard was a production put out by a group called Musical Expeditions called Dancing with the Dead, the Music of Global Death Rites. And that happened to be an excerpt from a radio broadcast in Seattle in 1993, which is where these folks' Musical Expeditions were located at the time. And it was taken from a funeral eulogy for a very honored member of a church. They don't actually identify what the church is. It just says it's Pastor Edie Mae Lane and in Pensacola, Florida. And they have a little sidebar here which says in 1993 the Southern Baptist Convention produced a map of the damned, which calculated that 46.1%. Now, how they did that, we do not know.
Special science.
Yes. Of the people in the countries surveyed were going to hell. And if you thought Calvinism was dead, obviously not in 1993, and it was successfully imported over here, right, Carolyn?
Yes, seemingly so. Certain things just don't let go easy.
No, they certainly don't. And the reason why I also brought Carolyn here was because we had corresponded over the death of someone who was close to us, both as a roommate for me back in the mid-80s, who started a group called New Moon, Moon Circles, and got a friend of ours at the time to actually Rob Bykoff was full of ideas. They just flowed off of him like water off a duck's back. You know, it was all you could do to keep up with things. But yes, our friend Merle Insinga designed the logo for New Moon, and we actually had coffee mugs made with that logo on them. And I don't know about Carolyn, but I still have mine.
I wish I had mine. I don't have mine anymore. I think it broke in one of my moves. But definitely Rob in California had at least one kicking around. And then he transformed it out there to phases. So he kept it going even when he went back to California.
Right.
Which is wonderful. Yeah, he kept this up. And then we were starting something at Oak Hall. And
but Oak Hall was the latest,
yes,
right?
Yes.
You know, because I know that he tried to really get phases going, but that was also very much at the time either reclaiming or fairy territory. And even though I did my best to put him in touch with people who were, shall we say, exiting out from under the mantle of Starhawk or of Victor and mm-hmm. Cora Anderson, yeah, and going their own way. Thorn Coyle had yet to write her books. Maka's fantastic book called, what was it, The Pagan Book of Living and Dying. Yep. Was put out under Starhawk's name. And you really had to look closely to realize that Starhawk had nothing to do with that book. Mm-hmm. That was all Maka Nightmares, vision and work. And to honor her, Aileen O'Brien,
yes,
we love you.
We do love you, Aileen.
We do love you. You know, it was terrific work because at the time there was absolutely nothing out there. Mm-hmm. It was all love and light and, oh, let's just dance under the moon. Well, you know, if you live in California and it's not being burned up by forest
right.
fires, which is what's happening in Southern California at the moment, mm-hmm. Northern California actually is without power.
We have no power, yes. Everyone where I currently live is going through that right now because of the fear of accident and, of course, PG&E being implicated. So they took a wise step, though a greatly inconvenient one, of shutting down power to check safety.
Yes. So, of course, for those not familiar with the background, was PG&E was really blamed for that fire in Northern California mm-hmm. that absolutely decimated a single town, caused 80 deaths.
Yeah.
So they announced that they were going to cut power, but they couldn't discriminate, so they cut power to everyone. So, you know, unless you had a generator, you were out of luck. Mm-hmm. And for those people who are dependent on electricity to power respirators and various other things, it's a tough time. It's like, do you try to stay in place and make do? You know, do you go to the nearest local hospital and hope that, you know, a treatment during hours will keep you safe overnight? A real question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, of course, after they did that, if you lived out there, I never lived in California. I lived in Arizona, but I was close enough because we got the Santa Ana winds mm-hmm. coming through at this time. And what did they do? But they sparked wildfires very close to Los Angeles. So sometimes death doesn't come like a thief in the night.
No, it does not.
Sometimes it's the result of natural or man-made disasters.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's just what my grandparents used to say was, you hope for the best and prepare for the worst.
Yes.
And as those of us who started out really looking up to people like, let me give you the names of folks who have passed on. Judy Harrow, Alexei Kondratiev, Mother Moth, and over in Chicago. The list goes on and on. People credited with starting the modern witch movement, Gerald Gardner, Alex Sanders. Mm-hmm. Now, there's an interesting thing. I was actually trained in what we politely termed a Fitz-Alexandrian system, because there was a group that sort of followed the popular wheel of the year. They used music, you know, to open their circle, but they tried to never utter the term witch. And then right alongside that group was another one which practiced ceremonial magic. And both of them are still growing strong, though Lucifer is among the dear departed, and Ishtar has decamped for other pastures. That's the polite way.
It's a very, yes, very gentle description
of putting it. And what I wanted to do was talk to you a bit about your desire to actually tape the living while they are living.
Yes.
And rather than go for people's memories after they have gone.
Mm-hmm. One of the visions that Rob had for Oak Hall was to do a series of recordings of various pagan elders who had wonderful stories to tell and who were influential that may or may not be well known commonly to people today. And he wanted to call the series By the Hearth, because Oak Hall had this beautiful room and a beautiful hearth, and he wanted us to videotape it very much like the actor's studio. He thought he wanted me to sit there and ask the questions, and we would do a bunch of research and then have these people talk.
So you were to be the interlocutor, as it were.
Yes. And it was nice because I had, in my time, especially both at Unicorn as well as formerly at Arsenic and Old Lace, met many people who are now elders and authors. And so I'm very comfortable in that venue and very happy to talk to people. And I really enjoy that interchange, because really making space for people to tell the stories, I feel, is tremendous value. We have a lot of books, but I think there's something that happens in an oral history when it gets translated through human voice. It's transmuted. The way we hear it, the way we feel when we receive that knowledge is very, very different. You know, conjures sitting around the fire and hearing the stories. But that's really what Rob and I talked about, and that's part of why we wanted to do it literally at the hearth.
Now, I know you had mentioned that after Rob's death last year, mm-hmm. was the house was robbed. Was that?
Sadly, it was utterly sacked.
Utterly sacked.
Yes, and really tragically so. And so when that was discovered, it was not that long ago. And so it was about trying to, in our best way possible, sell what we could that was left. But unfortunately, almost the entire library was stolen that he had. And it was really, for me, emotionally devastating, because we thought everything was safe, but it was not.
Oh, dear. So So even though the house was locked, it was broken into?
Actually, it was stolen by the people who he had sublet to, which was even worse.
Oh, my. Well, always check your tenants, folks. And while we're on the subject, is that since no one except really super, what I consider really, really super magicians know the day or hour that they will die. The only person of my acquaintance who actually knew that was a gentleman who never wrote a book. Mm-hmm. He had a store in one of the most unlikely places that you could think of, and that was in Belfast during the time of the Troubles. And at one point, that entire set of shops was actually burnt out. And that's when he started gathering people together at his home. He had quite a number of wonderful folks around him, including many folks who are still alive. A shout out to Joe McManus, the keeper of the sacred goat shite. And yes, that's a really good story. We had gone to, a bunch of us had met up in Glastonbury, to those. And we, several of us had either rented cars or were able to fit in because we were younger and fitter then, instead of being older and wider, as I like to say. And we hot-footed it over to Breen Down, which is actually the place where Dian Fortune, Violet Mary Firth, set her sea priestess and moon magic things. And yes, Breen Down sits on a finger into the sea, but it's a very high promontory. We went there at about, I'd say somewhere between 7 and 8 at night. It had already started getting dark. There are tidal gates there that are automatically closed so that you don't go on the beach during the tides. And there's an enormous set of stairs going way up. And I just looked at those stairs, even though I considered myself younger and fitter. I believe I was in my 40s then. And I was like, why don't you guys go up ahead? I'll just work down here. And so there were three of us who actually did form a circle. And by this time, it was totally pitch dark. And they had gone up there, and Joe had found what he thought were stones. But I had seen the goats grazing up at the top. And I was like, stones? You know? And I was like, I was the only one who had a flashlight. And so, of course, I hadn't accompanied them. And, you know, I, here were these suspiciously round, brown balls of nearly, I wouldn't say they were fossilized because they were too recent, but we'll just sort of say petrified So that's how Joe got the name of the Keeper of the Sacred Goat Shite.
That's pretty funny.
But to get back to that, you know, is nobody knows their day and hour of their passing. Mm-hmm. So please, please, people, make a will, even if you think you'll live forever. Make a will. If you designate somebody as your executor, make sure you tell that person that you've made a will. And they are named. And so hopefully it's recorded someplace other than a handwritten note in a safe deposit box. Because in the United States, there are only 26 states that allow an oral will. And it has to be attested to by either a member of the clergy or their lawyer. So, yeah, you know, back in the 16th and 17th centuries, you could get away with this more, but no more, because... from sad experience, I can tell you if there is any money at all, relatives will come crawling out of the woodwork. Here come relatives, here come relatives, right down relative lane. You know, they're just going to be there, and you may... depending on what your relationship was with this person, whether they practiced a spiritual path that might have been frowned upon, whether they had partners who might have been frowned upon mm-hmm. by loving Christian parents and grandparents, you may not know this.
Yes.
And yeah, it will happen. Or whether they went through several marriages before the one that you actually bet them in, and they had children by those marriages. Because what happens when you don't make a will is that generally it goes to... anyone who you were married to who steps forward, even if it's an ex, if the divorce is actually recorded and not just that you separated and never bothered to go, it could actually wind up with your 80 and 90-year-old parents who will chuck out all your wonderful library books that you spent a lifetime accumulating.
Amazing.
For your own personal library. So obviously by the hearth,
yes,
I will not be in that location, I take it.
No, so thank you for bringing that back, because really part of what I wanted to do and use this as a wonderful opportunity to reach people to say, if you have stories yourselves or if you are connected to elders who you feel should be interviewed, I'd like you to get in touch with me by sending me an email to carolyn@inthelapofthegoddess.com and let me know how to contact you and them, because I really feel it's important to fulfill a few things that Rob wanted to see come to fruition.
And could you spell out your first name?
Yes, gladly. That is CAROLYN, and then in the lap of the goddess.com.
So if you send an email there, Carolyn will get them.
Yes.
And she checks, and we will also have a link on this show going forward.
Yes, thank you.
This idea of recording is really very valuable. I remember years ago, a gentleman by the name of Ray Buckland, mm-hmm. who came to PantheaCon, and he had thought to take a video camera, and he filmed the ritual room of Gerald Gardner's Last Coven and told wonderful stories about it, because this was on the Isle of Man that he had this. And what it was, in order to enter, you had to slide behind the cast iron bathtub, and then there was a whole room beyond that that actually did have a hearth. At the time that Ray could actually film it, was the stipulation was none of the ritual regalia could be out. But here was this wonderful place with logs firmly set in to a cobblestone wall and foundation, and with a wonderful hearth with the cobblestone chimney going all the way up and venting out the ceiling. What was it? I think I'm trying to remember exactly when Gerald died. I believe it was right at the beginning of the 60s. And for those who wanted to know, yes, the collection was broken up. Part of it was picked up for the initial Museum of Witchcraft down in Cornwall. Mm-hmm. And part of it went to Canada and became part of the Ripley's Believe It or Not collection. It
seems so odd.
Doesn't it seem so odd?
Yes.
You just never know where this stuff is going to wind up. Mm-hmm. And then you had people various of Gerald's high priestesses, and I'm thinking of the lovely lady who lived down in Brighton in an apartment down there on subsidized housing. It was in a housing estate. For those of you who really want to track this stuff down, there is now an official blue plaque where Doreen Valiente lived. Mm-hmm. She passed her collection on to a fellow who she thought was going to be around for a long time, but it certainly did appreciate the value of the collection. Well, as it turned out, as soon as he got it, because she lived in subsidized housing, they had to empty the place out. And for quite a while, it was stored in various places. Plus, there was a whole section that had suffered severe water damage over the years that had to be junked, pretty much.
That's such a shame.
Was impossible to save. So if you should be one of those people listening, it is 7:51, you're listening to WMFO in Medford. And we'll be wrapping this up shortly. And going out with another edition from Dancing with the Dead. And that will be, if I can manage to flip to the right page, Sing On from the Eureka Brass Band, Jazz Funerals in New Orleans. So, yeah, from the Southern, presumably part of the Southern Baptist congregation, the Unknown Church in Pensacola, to the second line brass bands. And for those of you in the area, yes, they had to cancel the lantern parade tonight, but things will be in full swing tomorrow in Davis Square for the Honk Festival.
So fun.
One of our favorite things. Thank you so much, Carolyn.
Oh, thank you, Joanne. Thank you for the opportunity. Really appreciate it.
Sofa speaking. I've been waiting for you all day.
Wait, hold on. I am being sweet talked by the couch?
That's right. Just sit down here on your comfy couch and don't move a muscle.
Mm.
Let's just sit and watch TV.
Oh, I really shouldn't.
Come in, let me give you some sugar. You still love chocolate, don't you?
Back off, couch man.
Dorothy?
I'm tired of what you're doing to my friend. Ayana, don't let him sweet talk you.
But baby...
That's enough from you. Let's go window shopping, girl. Like maybe for a new couch.
When temptation is calling, call on your sisters to provide you with the motivation and love you need. Eat right, get active, and reduce your risk of cancer, diabetes, heart disease, and stroke. Go for success with the power of sisterhood. For more information, go to everydaychoices.org. Brought to you by the American Cancer Society, the American Diabetes Association, the American Heart Association, the Ad Council, and this station.
If I could have a heart-to-heart with my dad.
If I could have a heart-to-heart with my mom.
I'd probably talk about girls.
We'd probably talk about girls.
Anything boys, school.
Cutting and burning clothes.
You'd be amazed at what they'll talk about if you give them the chance.
If I had a heart-to-heart with my dad.
If it were real heart-to-heart, I'd tell my parents what I'm going through.
Just listen and be supportive.
Probably talk to him about growing up.
I'd probably tell my dad that I wish we'd do more stuff together.
I don't think it has to be a heart-to-heart. I just want to talk.
Cutting and burning in my life made the pain that was going on in my mind real.
Give your family everything. Give them your time. From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Carrie intentionally burned her arms with a curling iron.
Cutting and burning in my life made the pain that was going on in my mind real.
She got help and tries to help others.
Just listen and be supportive, but also don't enable the person to feel sorry for themselves and to keep going downhill. Try to stay away from that by encouraging them. How can you go forward? What do you need to do to make something positive out of this?
Who needs you to be supportive? From the Mennonite Churches and Faith and Values Media.